The transition from high school to college can be a tough one. Most students are on their own for the first time and are trying to balance academic responsibilities with extracurricular or social activities. It can be especially overwhelming for students dealing with depression, anxiety, or other psychological disorders. And the stigma around mental illness can make it hard to seek the help they need. Without help, those students suffer personally and academically, sometimes with tragic consequences. Experts estimate around 1,500 college students take their own life every year. That's a statistic that both universities and the students themselves are working hard to change. Here to talk to us about the move to improve mental health on college campuses are two members of the MSU chapter of Active Minds, a national organization that works to break down the stigma of mental illness on college campuses. Miriam Garski is the organization's president. She's joined by fellow Active Minds member Brian Meek. Miriam and Brian, welcome to Current State.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And joining us by phone, Dr. Victor Schwartz, medical director for the Jed Foundation, a nonprofit that helps universities promote emotional health and suicide prevention. Dr. Schwartz, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks, Mark. Good morning.
I want to start with you, Dr. Schwartz. Can you talk to us about the scope of this problem? I mean, how many college students struggle with mental illness?
Well, it's actually hard to say precisely, but we do have information from surveys done of students through the American College Health Association, and we certainly know that there are significant percentages of students who report significant concerns from anxiety to depression. And again, these aren't necessarily diagnosable clinical entities, but 30 to 45% of students will say that they've been so stressed or so anxious or depressed that it's been difficult to function at some point in the prior year. Between 6 and 8% of students will say that they've had serious thoughts of self-harm or suicide in the prior year. 1% of students will make a suicide attempt. So when you think about approximately 20 million students in higher ed settings in the United States, those are really, really formidable numbers of people with concerns.
How do those numbers compare to the general population?
Well, you know, we don't really know about much of this in relation to the general population of the same age. One thing we do actually have information about, and this may come as a surprise, is that actual suicide occurs less often among college-attending 18 to 25-year-olds than it does among people who are the same age but not in school. So it appears, in fact, that being in school, while stressful and demanding and challenging and presenting a whole series of challenges, also presents a whole series of opportunities and kinds of hopefulness and actually support in some ways that's more accessible than people who might not be in school.
Miriam, can you talk to us a little bit about what Active Minds is trying to change when it comes to mental health?
Yeah, Active Minds. So we're a national nonprofit organization, and our goal is to change the conversation about mental health just by raising awareness and providing the resources that are available on campus to our peers and our community. So we're aiming to reduce the stigma because we think that that's something that needs to happen in the near future because it is so important.
Your involvement in this issue came out of your own experience struggling with anxiety and depression when you got to college.
Correct.
Can you talk to us about some of the challenges you faced during that transition from high school to college?
Yeah. For me, it was really hard to all of a sudden kind of do everything on my own, not because I wasn't capable, but just because it was very hard to believe in myself, I think. And it was the first time in my life when I was completely on my own, learning about who I was and what I wanted to be. And I think that was very scary, kind of overwhelming. And so everything just happening at once was really hard on me. And I think that's what brought out, the anxiety and the depression. And it was really hard to do it on my own, it felt like.
Brian, you yourself haven't struggled with a mental illness, but you've had friends who have. What can people like you who haven't dealt with a mental illness do to support friends who have?
I think just you have to know the signs, and then you have to also just be extremely supportive and realize that this is truly a mental illness and it can be helped. So just stick with them, always stay positive with them, and once again, know the signs.
Are the signs pretty obvious? I mean, are both of you sensitive to those signs? What are those?
So there are lots of signs. We've both actually done a QPR training here on campus at Michigan State. So there's just signs that, you know, big changes in personality, you know, things like that are just obvious signs to us because we've gone through the training, so we know.
QPR?
Yes, QPR is...
Quality Performance Review, I think is what that means.
No, I think it stands for question...
Persuade
and refer.
Okay.
Exactly. Right.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. Brian Meek is a member of Active Minds at MSU, an organization working to decrease the stigma of mental illness on campus. We're also joined by Active Minds President Miriam Garski and Dr. Victor Schwartz, Medical Director of the Jed Foundation. Dr. Schwartz, recently counseling center directors on college campuses have reported sharp increases in the number of students dealing with severe psychological problems, including depression, eating disorders, self-injury. According to the 2010 National Survey of Counseling Center Directors, those centers saw a 36% jump since 2000. Does this mean there's an increasing number of students with mental illnesses?
Well, we actually don't know for sure. What we do know, and it's interesting, if you look back, those surveys are done yearly, and actually over the last 15 years, directors have reported, you know, between 80 and 90% of the directors have reported there are more students coming in with more serious problems. For sure, one of the things that's happened is that, you know, through work of groups like Active Minds and, you know, and students like Miriam and Brian, more students are coming in for help sooner, and that's actually a great thing. Part of that, though, creates a challenge in the capacity of those services, so that, you know, we have seen the numbers and the percentages of student bodies coming into their school counseling services and using other services, you know, at the campuses in higher numbers. The other thing that, you know, has happened in the last 15 years is that in many cases access to services in the local communities has not been as good. So, you know, part of what we think we're seeing is that much of the care has shifted from maybe local community providers and clinics to campus-based clinics, which weren't initially set up to provide these kinds of services. So it's created a real challenge in the system, and that may be behind what we're seeing in terms of more students with more, you know, clinically diagnosable conditions coming into their campus services for help when they might not have done that 15 or 20 years ago.
Miriam, how would you assess, how much do you know about MSU's resources or the City of East Lansing's resources to help students in this situation?
Right. Well, I know that MSU has like the Counseling Center, which anyone can go to and walk in if you're a student. And then we have Olin Psychiatry for people who want to go through that evaluation and consultation process. So we do have those big resources available that are provided by MSU. But I think a lot of people don't focus on the student groups and the organizations that like the students and the peers have formed that can be extremely helpful, because it does form a support group and just kind of another way to educate people. Another big thing that I just want to say, because lots of kids don't know about it, is we have the RCPD, the Resource Center for Persons with Disabilities. I think that's something that students don't know about, and it's pretty important if you want to get like accommodations and get help to get through the school year and get what you need to do, or get the opportunities that you need in order to be successful in class. Like, you are able to do that if you go through the evaluation process and qualify. So I think lots of students should look into that if that's what they would need to be successful.
Dr. Schwartz, I wanted to talk about social media, which plays an increasingly important role in the lives of young adults. A recent New York Times article about suicides on college campuses touched on this issue of young people constantly comparing themselves to their friends on social media. Is there any evidence that social media can exacerbate problems for students already struggling with mental illness?
Sure. And with many of these kinds of new developments, the impact can really go both ways. So there is evidence out there that, you know, some people are overusing social media, that they become connected to it in ways that are harmful or certainly less than helpful. And that what you just described is one of the ways that it can become problematic. We know that there are people who, you know, are using social media as an alternative to actual real-life connections with other people, or, you know, that balance becomes overwhelming. By the same token, it's important to recognize that, you know, social media can be a way for people who might have difficulties connecting, doing somewhat better and making connections in ways that might have been difficult for them were these kinds of things not available. And social media has been also a tool for educating young people, for helping reduce stigma and making people aware of services.
Brian, are you aware of any of your peers that use social media that arguably their problems are made worse by social media?
Yes, I can for sure see that, because a lot of times social media, it's great for, you know, getting people the knowledge and, you know, getting resources out there, but it can also create a bigger problem with things like bullying in high school, things like that, where it can, you know, almost increase the stigma of it. And then, you know, from there, with overuse of social media, I definitely think that that's a huge problem. A lot of people must be becoming dependent on it, where they're not getting in real conversation, not getting in healthy relationships because they're focused on the social media so much.
Miriam, thousands of freshmen have just arrived on the MSU campus and are starting their lives here at MSU. And among those students, there will likely be a fair number who find themselves struggling with depression or anxiety or another mental illness. As someone who's been in their shoes, what would you want to tell them?
Big thing I want to say is that anyone who's struggling with mental illnesses or anything like that, any mental issues, you are not defined by that, and that does not make you who you are. It might be a part of your experience and your journey, but you are not your mental illness. And there are definitely resources available for you. You just need to ask for help.
A rich conversation and an important one. We've been talking about mental health on college campuses and efforts to destigmatize the conversation around mental illness. Our guests today have been Miriam Garski and Brian Meek, members of the MSU chapter of Active Minds. A big thank you also to Dr. Victor Schwartz, medical director at the Jed Foundation. Thanks to all of you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.